Last time I was here, they are saying I must be wired. It's on. Am I on?
Yes.
Am I on? So I suppose that I like because I like walking.
Yes.
Yeah. Next time, perhaps, when if God allows me to come next time, he will be an archbishop. Hallelujah. Because it keeps going up. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, enjoy the service. Hallelujah. We have a saying in South Africa, we say, smile, man, your face won't crack. Hallelujah. I came with my wife, and my wife is like, if I have a computer, she's my memory. Sometimes, men, we forget things, and you say to your wife, when is that? Oh, the 7th of August. Oh, okay. Guys, it's the 7th of August. So she's here with me. Would you like to hear her greet you?
Yes.
And hear why she's got such a nice voice, I married her. Hallelujah. Welcome and greet the people of God. I don't know if somebody can lower the mic. She's not the tallest. She's a bit short, but she's portable. So that's why I loved her. I can take her, I can carry her around.
Good evening, people of God.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, it's a blessing to be here. As you have heard, my name is Robbie. And Walt is my husband. Greetings from Port Elizabeth, South Africa. And greetings from our house. I'm a mother of four children, three girls, one boy. Two are married, the two are not yet. I'm a grand of twins, 6 years old. So we are blessed. The tree is growing. We are nearly to get a forest. But God says, go ye and multiply. So we are multiplied. I'm so happy to stand before you. Last time, my husband has come this side twice, and he has told us stories about your love and your care and the fellowship. So this time, it was our desire to come together and see you. The reason we are here, we are not international preachers. We are fellow Christians. We have come to encourage each other on this journey to heaven. If you are a Christian, I believe that your faith is not to live on this earth forever. This earth is here to prepare us for eternal life. Amen? Amen. I'm going to greet you with just one verse from Galatians 5, verse 6. Just one verse. This verse says, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You know, our faith is differentiated from all the faith by love, because our God is God of love. The word says, for that much he loved the world, he gave his son to die for us. So our Christian life Love is the antidote of our faith. Love, our Christian love, is about God, is about our neighbor. The word says we should love ourselves as we love our neighbor. So we always check ourselves, our faith. Our faith, the most we have to love God with all our mind, our strength, and whatever he has given us. Secondly, we have to love our neighbor as we love us. That is our faith. Out of that is another faith. So it doesn't mean that we have to compromise with the world, with sins, for the sake of loving our neighbor. No. As we love God, we'll never be able to compromise with sin and the things of the world. We love God with all our strength, with all our mind, with all what he has given us. Secondly, when I see my love will compel, you know, in the word there is the fruits of the Spirit. And Jesus told the disciples, stay here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. This Holy Spirit will give you strength, will teach you, will lead you, will be your helper. He explained why they should wait upon the Holy Spirit. And as we read the word of God, the Holy Spirit has his own fruit. And the first one is love. Love binds all other fruits because it's about to do with my neighbor. I have to be patient for my neighbor, whether it's my husband, my children, my neighbor next door. I have to love him. I have to be kind. I have to do this and this, all that fruit of the Spirit. So our Christianity, wherever we go, if we haven't loved each other, we were not here. We would be in Port Elizabeth, and we wouldn't see a reason to come here. But in our hearts, we feel, no, we have to go and see our friends. How are they doing? Are they ahead of us? What? Something new, and new revelation from God, from the word of God. That's the Christianity. So that's why the early church, those apostles were persecuted, were killed, were everything, but they were like smack. They trapped people. They draw crowd to them. Even Jesus himself, wherever he went, cripples, sick people, lame, all kinds of people, they were attracted to him because he cared for his people. He cared for the people. Even the early church, they have the same character. Wherever they went, they attracted crowd because of the love of Christ. We love you. That's where we are here. Amen.
That was like starters. So now let's go to the main course. And perhaps Pastor Steve will do the dessert. Hallelujah. It's now 24 minutes past 8. My plan, our plan is latest like 22:09. I believe you folks finishes at 9. So 8:40, I must be heading for landing so that we can go home and the plane has landed safely. All right. Is that fine? Yeah. All right, guys. That's fine, good people. We come from South Africa. Hey, by the time we were here, we had a very small church. But tomorrow I might show you on the visuals. We ended up having a very big church. Well, depending on the scope you're thinking of, but nearly, on our books, we got nearly 500 people. But the one that attends is about 250 and so, regular ones. So we had to have two churches, one in the affluent area and another one in a not very poor, but like in between. So we got two churches, guys. So you're welcome to come and visit. Amen. Please, if you want to come and visit us, go through Pastor Steve. And I only ask you one favor. Don't come all of you at the same time. Please. But in drips and drops, it's fine. And we will be happy to have you. We are here for a few days. We're going back to South Africa on Tuesday. So pray for us. We're going there. We appreciate that we are welcome to this place. Pastor Evans, thank you very much. And your pastor is looking after his wife very well. Did you people notice that Micah is looking younger and younger? He's doing a good job. And if I want to see if a man is good to, if a man is good to his wife, I don't look at the man. If the man is dressed nice, I don't look at that. I look at the wife. If I see your life is looking good, I don't care what you're wearing as a man. Hallelujah. How about we look at a story? It's a quick story. It's in the book of 2 Kings. And I don't know if it can be put on the audio visuals. Audio visual. On the data projector. It is 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3. I don't know if there's any way we can have it up there. Then I can read from there. Was the worship good? Was the worship good?
Amen.
The worship was very, very good. Good people, the word of God says, and there were, we're talking about four lepers tonight. And there were four lepers. Four leprous men at the entrance in the inn of the gate. Is it King James Version?
Yes.
Do you have any other version? If there is another version, if you don't mind, a more sort of modern one, because there's something I want to look into that. Hallelujah. I think you got a very good pastor, you got a very good worship team, and you guys look very good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm sure there is something good happening. The church is filling up. And yeah, thank you, thank you. Oh, King James Version. Oh.
It's the only version.
Say it to your neighbor, it's the only version. Let's read it. It's fine. It's fine.
I can read a version if you want, Pastor.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Which one would you like? Let's
do the...
Can't project it, that's the only thing.
Okay. No, that's fine. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Okay. And there were four lepers at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, it's very important for us to speak to one another. If you've got neighbors, like my wife is saying, you're not speaking to them. How then do we influence the world? Because we are the salt of the world. Oh, if you like sugar, I like sugar. I must actually cut a bit. And because as you see, last time I came, I was a bit. But this time I've pulled a bit. We are the salt of the world. If you are the salt of the world, you cannot stay in the container. You got to be dished out to others. People say, no, my faith is private. Hello. We are not called to have a private faith. We are called, Jesus says, go out to the world and share the gospel. When in Port Elizabeth, we had 70 members in our affluent church. When we went out from house to house to build cells, we got 200 people because we started speaking one to another. So they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Why? Because that time, if you're a leper, you are not allowed to mix with other people. In fact, if you had to pass, you would have to keep walking and say, teme, teme, teme. I'm unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. So that no one can touch you, or you can touch and defile them. Now, these lepers are sitting, they say, why do we sit here outside the gate and die? They say, if we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city. And we shall die there as well. The city is like a place of comfort. They say, it's bad enough here where we're sitting outside the gate. Those cities in the old times, as you know, they used to have walls and so on. I went to Nanjing, China. I saw a city with walls like Jerusalem. Now, the lepers are sitting outside because they are not qualified to be inside. Now there is famine in the land. And the lepers are saying, guys, good people, folks, we are dying out here. And if we say we go into the city, it doesn't help because the famine is in the city. If we sit here, we'll also die. Now, therefore, let us go and surrender to the Syrian army. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. I like that. We shall only die. It's no big deal. We're dying anyway. So we shall only die. Doesn't make a difference. We sit here, we die. We go in the city, we die. We go to Syria, because that time the Syrians had surrounded Samaria and they wanted to destroy Israel. And they say, guys, good people, we sit here, we die. We go in the city, we die. We better take a chance and a risk and go to the enemy. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Assyrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, where they've got their army there, because they had done a siege around Samaria. When they came to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise. Can you say to me, surprise? I like surprises. I hope you like surprises. When I saw this jacket, I was surprised. I said, I'm buying that jacket. I bought it. I came home. My wife says, those are your colors. Surprise. I like surprises. I mean, when I was 60, I'm giving away my age now, they had a surprise for me. I like surprise, man. I like getting some food that is a surprise. I didn't hear it be cooked and so on. They say, oh, we've got a surprise today. We've got spaghetti lasagna. It's a surprise. I like surprises. He says, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord has caused the army of the Assyrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they say to one another, that is the Syrian army, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled, and they left the camp intact, their tents, their horses and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives, those Assyrians. Why? Because four lepers are coming to the Syrian army. They have no toes. They're going like this. But God made, as they walked like this, the Assyrians had as if a big army is coming. And what happened? So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has had blah, blah, blah. Therefore they are, and verse 8. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and they ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and they carried some from there also and went and hid it. Next verse. Then they say to one another, we are not doing the right thing. We are only enjoying ourselves in this church. We're not going out to win the lost. We are good number. We are about 100, but we could be 200. We could save the world. People are dying out there. People need Jesus. If it was a church, they would say like that. Then they say, we're not doing the right thing. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. No, no, man. And we remain silent. And we remain silent. If it was a church, how come we remain silent? How come I haven't spoken to my neighbor about Jesus? How come at work they don't know that I serve the Lord, I'm born again? How come when I eat with other people, I pretend that, where's my knife and fork? I pray just in my heart, Lord, bless this food. I say grace. Am I not bold enough to say, even if I don't have to shout, I must be proud of my faith. I must be proud of my Jesus. I must stand for my Jesus. Why are the Muslims so bold and their God is not God? Just in case you didn't know. We have the living God. Amen. I went to America to study Bible school, and one of the people who taught us was a caliph in the Muslim faith from Iran. He has converted to Christian. He says, the thing he was surprised about when he was a Muslim is that the Christians have got the most strongest God in the universe, but they're keeping their mouths shut. Yes. They're even sometimes ashamed of their God. Yes. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And guess what? One day, I was in a big meeting in the cabinet, and I looked. These days, I don't really care much. Even with age, I don't care much. I just go for Christ. In a nice way. In a nice way. Not like, in a nice way. Hey, but I'll go for you. So I looked at one of them. He looked sick. I went close. I said, sir, how are you? He said, I'm fine. I said, excuse me. I started speaking nice English. Excuse me. Do you know that sometimes I can dream about things and actually it's God talking to me and I feel like I must pray with you? Is there anything I can pray for? He said, yeah, I'm sick. I say, the first thing before I pray for your disease, can I pray that you receive the healer? First, you receive the healer, and then the healer can heal you. Because if you are not at the doctor cannot prescribe for you. Let's go to the doctor. He said, okay. I said, in front of the whole cabinet. I say, can you say the following words after me? Say, Jesus. Jesus. He was a big man, yo. I'm a small man, but he's a big man. I said, say Jesus. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Other people are like, what's going on? As they say, I repent my sins. I repent my sins. Please forgive me. Please forgive him. My life has been a mess. My life has been a mess. Forgive me. I need you more than I need air. I need you more than I need life. I need you more than I need water. I need you more than I need anything. All I need is you, Jesus. He prayed. He finished. I laid my hands, and now everybody's now really watching. And I'm surrounded like 300 people. And the devil is saying to me, you better stop. You're making a sin. I say, I will make a sin in the name of the Lord. Then I said to him, now I'll pray for your healing. Lord, bless this man. But if this man, should it be your will that he will live long? I've led him to Jesus. You know what? He died that same night. Had I not been silent, salvation would not have come to the man. Now, the day I go to heaven, I'll see him. He's saying, why didn't you help me? So they arose at night and said to his servant. So then they say to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Assyrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkey tied and the tents intact. And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. Now, the king was worried that, you know, it's a trick. Those lepers saw what is a trick. Is that the Syrians want us to go out of the city so that they capture us. The story goes down, and it says, So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. This is what happens. When the church decides to go for souls, the devil will bring another agenda. But do you know the law these days? The law says there is hate speech. You can't tell everybody Jesus is the only way. If we go out, we have to tell them is one of the ways. Say to your neighbor, Say to your neighbor, We will have to stand and be counted for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He trusted you with your nice small eyes, ears. He trusted me with my big ears. Hey, we are ambassadors of Christ.
Amen.
So there's no other way. If you're a British ambassador, you're not gonna go overseas and pretend you're Iranian ambassador.
No.
You will speak the language of your country. You will portray the culture of your country. You will say, I am British. If you go to my bathroom, I've got a British flag. Why is it there? Because I'm proud of the British. Because in 1986, October, they gave me a scholarship to go to Strathclyde University in Glasgow and study at Bath University Management and Berkshire and Slough in engineering. So it's always there. I shower, I say, hallelujah. God bless the British. Hallelujah. I'm proud of them. People say, what is the British flag doing here? I say, it is there to receive thanks to the British people.
Amen.
From this man, because they blessed me. I'm not ashamed. Where was I? 13. Now, and one of his servants answered and said, King, please let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. If you are worried, let's try it out. Just 4 men. And look, they may either become like all of the multitude of Israel what are left in, or indeed I say they may become like the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. Therefore, 14, they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste, in their running. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a set of fine flour was sold for a shekel and 2 seers of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. 4 lepers. The whole of Israel army could not go to the Syrian army to fight, but only 4 lepers. They say, if we sit here, we will die. If we go into the city for comfort, we will die. Let us go to the enemy's camp and take what belongs to us in the name of the Lord. Amen. The Christian faith has one thing attached to it. We got to move. If we sit, we will die. If last year you were sitting with 10 minutes of prayer, this year you're sitting with 1 minute of prayer, you like this, and time for prayer comes, even at home, you go, oh. Something will start to die in you. Either the passion for Christ, either the love for church, either even your giving for the work of God, or for the whatever charity you are supporting. Something dies when a Christian sits down and does not make movement. Something begins to die. The only way we can continue is we keep moving from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from power to power, from righteous to righteousness. Our power is in our moving. As long as we move, our enemy cannot catch up with us. Because when we move, God makes the sound of our feet, he magnifies them. They become supernatural. We were in one country, and when I preach, I don't look for money. No, you'll never hear me say, "I need a ticket." No. Money is a servant; he will follow us. We're not gonna ask. Even when I was in Scotland, other students were asking, people were begging around, "We are from Africa, we are a poor country, can you please, I wouldn't mind if I get a pickup from Japan or from wherever." They were begging. And they asked me, "Why are you not asking these guys? They've got money." I said, "No, I ask God, not man." Amen. And one day, Bill came. Bill works at Strath Isla. He's a born again, he's a church elder. He came and said, "Walter, God is telling me you've got a need." I said, "I have no need." He went, he was a man of faith, he came back. "God has spoken to me again. You have a need." I say, I have no need. All my needs are met by Jesus. Because I told God, if it is you, he must come 3 times. Then he comes 3rd time. He said, it's an ultimatum. You've got a need and you tell me, I need to buy you a pickup. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. He said, from now, never thank God again. It's done. I enjoyed it because it came from God, not from man. So we were in what, that country? We want to go home now. But we have run out of money in that country. We have not even got money to take a horse. Not even to ride a donkey. We have nothing. I mean, in our pocket, we did not have even like this. What is this? 1.50 cents. We did not even have 50 cents. And we are 3, 4 of us. And my friend says, now what's going to happen? I said, we go to the airport. We're going to the airport now. They say, what? What? We don't have even money for the bus. I said, I've got the money. Oh, then they were happy now because I said I got what?
Money.
The money. These lepers took a risk. And in God, we have to take a calculated risk. I'm not saying to be stupid, but we have to go out there in the unknown because we've got a known God. So we went because I realized they won't come if I tell them we are going by faith. So I say, guys, I've got the money. Now they thought I got the money. And they said, are you serious? You got the money? I said, I got the money. So when you put your hand like this, they know. I got the money. Let's go to the airport. Oh, now they were happy. Now they were singing, hallelujah, hosanna, hallelujah. Now we're going. Now it's nice. Everybody's smiling. And I know there's nothing. So we arrive at the airport. We stand on the queue. I say, guys, let's stand on the queue quickly and get our tickets quickly. So we stand on the queue. And the queue is going. When the queue is long, it's okay. But when it gets short, now it's like 2-3 people in front. And I go like this. So that my guys won't panic. I go like, I'm taking the money. So they're still singing now.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody from the city just showed up. And he says, there's a problem here. I said, what problem? He said, there's a problem. I said, there's no problem. He was a church elder in one of the churches we went. We had forgotten about him. He says, no, there's a problem. I said, there is no problem. Go home. He said, no. Okay, even if there's no problem, I want to pay for the ticket. And he paid for all the tickets. And my friend says, but you said you have no money. I showed them the empty pocket. I said, here was the money.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. We got to move from faith to another faith. God told me when I was sitting there, this church is about to get a surprise. This church is about to get a surprise. And I was asking God, what surprise? Pastor Evans might ask me, what surprise? He said, I'm about to give them a surprise. It might be in their new building. Somebody might just pop up and do something big. But you are about to get a pleasant surprise.
Amen.
From God. Ooh. I wish I was here to see that pleasant surprise. I wish I was here to see that pleasant surprise. I'll give you another, what time is it? 20:34. If I was a pilot, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, in 5 minutes' time, we're going to commence our descent. Hallelujah. They took a risk. They say, we will go. It's like somebody saying, I went to the enemy's camp. And I Took back what is stole from me. Took back what is stole from me. Took back what is stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what is stole from me. He's under my feet, under my feet. He's under my feet, he's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Talking about under your feet, one day a lady came recently and said, I've got cancer. She was now weak. And God said to me, ask her to lift her shoe like this. I said, God, what? These prophetic things can be weird, yo.
Yes.
Lift the leg. I said, lift your leg. She lifted. I put an X. I say, your cancer has just been canceled. Go to the doctor tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Then I went home. I said, ooh, suppose you go to the doctor. The doctor say it's still there. I say, it's none of my business. I'm going to the enemy's camp. If I die, I die. If I live, it's a good chance.
Yes.
She came back. She says, the doctor has just said the cancer is gone. She's alive until now, and I've got her testimony.
Beautiful.
It's time to move as a church. It's time to take that next step of faith and just believe that God will catch you. If you want to walk on top of the water, God is not going to show the stone first. You will have to put your feet. As you put your feet on the water, up comes the stone for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I took another risk. I was like these lepers. Did you know that they were lepers? Lepers are not even qualified. God is not looking for your qualification. He's looking for the unqualified to qualify them so that the glory be unto his name and not unto man. People say to me, you are a great man of God. Assistant. Since when I was a great man of God? I've never been one. I am a man, a normal man of a great God.
Amen.
One day I took a risk. And I felt in my heart, a family came and say, Pastor, what do we do? Our cousin is sick. Our uncle is sick in one of the cities towards Cape Town. But we feel that there are issues that are not sorted out yet. Family issues, you know, family issues. So he might die and go to hell because we still have our own fights. And issues, serious issues like unforgiveness, like want to kill one another. But they're family. So what must we do? I said, go quickly before Saturday, latest Saturday, go and find him and fix things before God takes him. They said, okay, we will go. Now, they want to go. Tuesday, this man is so sick, it's like he's dying. I say, don't cancel the trip. They say, no, we're canceling the trip. I say, you must go. They say, no, we better wait. He's dying anyway. So let him die so we can go for the funeral. It makes sense. I say, no. Go. Wednesday, he's worse. They say, we're not going. I say, you are going. Even if you have to pay for your trips, you're going. Because you have to make peace, that man can go to hell just because you are not prepared to take that risk and take that step. Now, it's okay, Pastor, we'll go. Come Friday, and they say, are you sure you heard from God? I said, I heard from God. Then on Friday, they phoned me evening, they says, you heard from God, ne? I say, yes, he has died. Now I say, oh, God, my reputation is at risk because I gave them a word. They've made the tickets. The guy has just died. Why is this guy dying now? I nearly want to phone him. Why are you dying? I gave these people a word that they must find you there. Don't die. Wait first. But he's died. The doctors in South Africa has got good doctors. They checked. He's dead. They said, now what do we do? I said, you go and speak to him. They said, we can't speak to him. He's dead. I said, you will speak to him tomorrow. Don't worry. So now they go like blind date, like, okay, let's go. And he has died anyway. They're like lepers. He's died anyway. If we are there, we're for the funeral. If he's alive, we'll see. They arrive. He has died in one city. And three doctors have confirmed he's dead. They transferred him to where he must be buried, to another mortuary. And while they were transferring him, I spoke to God. I said, God, did you not speak to me? Your people are looking for direction. I spoke to you. You told me they must go and make right. How come this guy dies? He said, tell them to go. They will meet him. I said, well, they'll meet him. He's dead. He said, telling them to go. I said, go, guys. When the body arrived in the other mortuary the day after, that the doctor, one doctor there, he decided, where is that guy who died? He's in the mortuary. He said, no, give me those. They've got those things. They shocked them, which they shocked until they decided he's died. He said, I'll just do one more time. Poof. The guys went, ah! He says, I need some food. They say, what? He said, I'm hungry. They're panicking. The guy's hungry, but he's dead. He's not dead. He's alive. They said, but he needs food. Is it a ghost? They gave him food. He was not even eating before that. He started eating. They would say, he must stop now. He says, no, I'm still hungry. They gave him more. They say, this guy is alive, but he might die now because of overeating. He said, no, give me more. He ate, he drank water, he sneezed. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. They made peace and everything was sorted. We will go to the enemy's camp, even if we are lepers. We might not have big titles like the Pope and so on, but we have the name of the Lord. And in the name of the Lord, like David and Goliath, we shall go to the enemy's camp, and a surprise is waiting for us. Amen. Can we stand? I promised you I'll keep time. It's 20:43. The pilot says, now you've got 10 minutes to landing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If four lepers could bring victory that a whole army of Israel could not, surely God is going to be using you to bring great revival in this place. This land was known for revival. Let it come back again. Let it come, even if it's just one more time, and you'll be part of it. And guess what? You'll smile when you see souls coming, when you'll see drug addicts flowing in, when you see the rich who never wanted to believe in Christ because they've got medical aid and they've got money, they bow down, as Imar led the song, bow down, and they bow down and worship our Lord. What a joy when you see your family coming to the Lord in their droves. I'll tell you a little bit more tomorrow, because today we are landing now. But I prophesy in the name of the Lord that this church, and can I be please put me on record, because it shall happen. I thus prophesy in the name of the Lord that this church has a big surprise waiting for them. I'm not going to tell you, otherwise it's not going to be a surprise. You got a big surprise waiting for you. You should be smiling from ear to ear. It's a surprise. Hallelujah. It's coming your way. In the name of Jesus, the lame shall walk. Even don't be surprised one day, Pastor Evans will tell you, hey, I was in a meeting and I prayed for a guy and a guy walked. The lame shall walk. In the name of Jesus. And in this place, the life of God shall reign. Because we are mindful of time, I'm not going to call people for prayers, but I'll leave it to Pastor Evans.
I think this is nice. I think that we should have prayers. I think that people should pray. Let me just say this.
Please.